The weekend was full of a bunch of esports championships. We're going to be talking about how effective the strategies were. There was some cheating, cheating. There was some fishy play. Nate understands. We're also talking about Overwatch adding Deathmatch, a Nintendo Switch game that you can't play on your television. No Man's Sky in its... No, he's gone. No Man's Sky starting its second year, possibly on the right foot. All of that and more. Get your game faces on, because it's inventory full.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Poorly.
What's up? It's your play of the week. Welcome to Inventory Full here on the Popcorn Talk Network. We got the full squad here. I'm one of your hosts, and that's Mark Budonica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Budonica. Joined by Nate Miller.
Sup, nerds. You can find me on all social media at DogLikeNate.
Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hi, guys. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles.
Patrick D.
What is up, guys? You can find me at P to the D's. What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, we missed you last week.
Oh, yeah.
Now it sucks. There's this big void in my life when I'm not talking games with you on the regular.
Well, no. Aww. See, the difference between that is when you're gone, you play games.
Yeah, oh.
Whereas we're constantly here and doing things and not playing games.
Yeah, fair enough. So much is coming out, though. I feel like this weird pressure to like churn and burn.
You're absolutely right.
We're hitting that time of year.
Getting to Destiny, man.
Destiny's.
I know. That's what scared me, right? Like, I know that's on the horizon. It's like, and I know if I didn't play like Tacoma this week, I was like, kiss that goodbye. Sorry, Steve Gaynor, but
missed
I'm
it.
Playing Destiny.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Speaking of which, what have you been playing?
I did wrap Tacoma. I won't spend too much time talking about that. It is a narrative-driven game. You guys are familiar with this. It is, you know, ostensibly a walking simulator. It's the follow-up to Fulbright's Gone Home. Mm-hmm. Takes place in space. You are a... you're there to find out what happened to the space station. Have you guys seen the mechanic?
No, but if it's similar to Gone Home...
It's a little different. So you walk into a room, and there's an AI there, and the AI goes, hey, The AI says there's an AR to watch. And essentially what it is it records the space station... The space station records these bodies, and they're like stick figures, kind of, and they record this whole scene. And it's a little bit like Sleep No More in New York. I don't know if you guys are familiar with like interactive theater, right? So there's just scenes going on, and you can follow whomever you want, and you have to, right? So you can rewind, fast forward, they'll all be at one place, and they all go in different directions. And so you'll follow the people that you want to, rewind, come back, follow the other people, and you kind of slowly piece together the narrative of what happened on that space station. So incredibly well written, highly recommended if you like the walking simulator genre. I know Nate's right out. He's like,
I'm not opposed. It's just a game like that, I really have to have time set out to play because I am a very narrative focused person.
Sure.
So when I get into it, I really get into it. So just being busy, I'm just gravitating to more pick up and play games than
I get it.
Than a time commitment.
It is really so that's actually what was exciting to me was I knew I could knock it off and like be done with it and say, hey, look, I consumed that game.
Right.
Pro tip for folks at home, if you are playing on Xbox, it's an Xbox exclusive, it's on the PC as well. Something I ran into. I tweeted about this being the most difficult puzzle in Tacoma. There is a bug that says press A to start, and that is it. It just stops. Literally it just stops. And so this is a known bug. Fulbright knows about it. The way you solve this, and this was after days of nobody knowing, is you have to unplug every non-controller peripheral, including Kinect. So I'd rebooted, restarted, literally had to unplug my hard drive, everything, every USB that's plugged into it.
Yikes.
So if you're at home, they still don't have a patch up yet. If you can't get through Tacoma, I know, we're a week out. They still don't. But unplug everything, make sure it's on your internal hard drive, not an external. Move it to your internal, press A to start, and it will start, I promise. But like I got hung up on a really tough start screen.
That's rough.
I know.
Big.
It was weird.
That's the start screen? That's the first thing?
Totally. Press A to start. And I was like, or not. I guess I'm just not playing. Well, you know that feeling when you get home and you're like, all right, I got a new game. I'm ready. And you get your headphones on or whatever, snacks. Mm-hmm. I'm usually eating something ready to go and then just... Maybe if I hold A.
Was this right when you started?
Like yeah,
when
you first, to start. That was your first. Literally, you can't get to the menu screen.
Really?
It is the big thing. It shows Tacoma, Unreal 4, or it's Unity. Unity, press A to start.
Yeah.
You can't progress past that. I was like,
patience.
I'm doing something wrong.
Like,
there.
Right,
this
fine.
Is part of the game.
Refund.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, they're fucking
your
with me, right?
Broken.
Like, this has got to be like something I've got to learn. I got to be smarter than the game. It was a solid 20 minutes before I gave up on that.
So it's like a... you know, it's an intelligence check before you even start the game.
That's really what I thought with the Kojima type thing. It's like,
deep puzzle.
I tried to caress the A button. That didn't work.
Press A within yourself.
Now, when it says press A, right. What does press mean?
What does it mean? I agree. Let's deconstruct this. Anyway,
so for folks. For start on the A button.
I just was like, yes, that would have been good.
There's just something.
Maybe it meant press A button. Press the A button.
If I hadn't pressed everything and then thrown my controller a couple times, I probably would have agreed with you.
I got it. Press the A button.
Oh!
Well, why didn't you say that earlier?
They figured that
solving
out.
Solving it. Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you're also playing Hellblade.
I am playing
from
Hellblade.
Ninja Theory.
You guys familiar with this?
I'm familiar with Hellblade. It's one of those ones that's just gone under the radar. Yeah. I love Ninja Theory.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
Journey to the West, or Enslaved, is one of my favorite games. I absolutely love it.
What did you love about it? I don't know that this is for everybody, so I think I want to recommend it with some qualifications. Well, like, what did you love about their other titles?
Well, the thing about Enslaved is I'm a big fan of the Journey to the West story.
Yeah.
So getting to play an action version of that. The thing that ultimately made me get it was some of my favorite reviewers mentioned how great the performance capture was and how it's one of the first really, really solid performance capture games. And the acting is amazing in it. The soundtrack is amazing in it. The action is fun.
Yeah.
And I would highly recommend it on Steam or anywhere that you can get it. Please pick up that. But Hellblade looks even more gorgeous.
It is stunning. So it's interesting they're embracing this double A model. And if you guys have seen the price point of this, it's $30.
$30.
It is an Unreal 4 game, and it is stunning. I'm playing it on the PlayStation Pro.
PlayStation 4 Pro?
I am. And it is a damn good-looking game. Now, some things that I didn't know going into it. I knew I liked Ninja Theory. Mm. And I knew that it looked stunning, and that was it.
That's all I knew, too.
So I'll give you a couple of things, a little bit about it. So it is a little bit more involved than Tacoma when it comes to a walking simulator, but it's very similar.
Very close.
It is. This is a story game, first and foremost. It is transcendently beautiful. The performance capture, I think, is unparalleled in modern console gaming. I don't know that I've seen a more convincing, the emotions conveyed. But it is a game about mental illness. I had no idea what I was getting into when I turned this on. So it starts up and it automatically, it recommends that you play with headphones. If you guys have a good set of gaming headphones, I can't recommend this enough. Because one of the principal mechanics in this game is you're walking along, you're a Viking warrior lady, and she's dealing with immediately some true signs of mental illness. She hears voices. So from the very get-go, you're one of those voices, or you think you are, in her head. So she goes, they're talking at you from all over. So the directional audio is incredible. They yell at each other. They yell at her. They yell at you. They give you direction. You're getting closer. You're getting warmer. You're getting colder. Getting colder. She's going to die. There's no way she can make this. She's going to die. Are you kidding me? We have to leave. Go forward. They're constantly yelling at you. And again, the positional audio is awesome. And the game consists of kind of two things. It's combat, which for a Ninja Theory game, which did the Devil May Cry stuff, right?
Yeah, they did the new DMC Devil May Cry.
Did you guys play that?
No, the
Nate's like, nah. He's like,
now the last thing I played from Ninja Theory was Disney Infinity. They did the Jedi combat when it came to the Star Wars playset, and oh boy, was that fun! Not even exaggerating.
I believe it.
Theory is really good at combat.
And so this is weird that they kind of veered from that. Not that combat is bad in this. I think it's certainly passable. It's just not very deep, right? It is all about, it is in service of the narrative. So there are some terrifying moments where the combat is harrowing. And it tells you from the jump, so if you guys are familiar with this, that there is a mechanic in the game where, like, if you die too many times, it erases your save and starts you from the beginning.
Now, here, there's a bit of controversy to this because they present it in a way where it's permadeath.
Right.
And because it's still early on in the life cycle, people go, I'm not going to try that.
Right.
But a couple of reviewers, I forget the website, went through and died over 50 times and nothing happened.
That's what I wanted to ask you guys about.
What do you mean nothing happened?
There was no permadeath.
Right.
Oh, the save didn't wipe, actually?
Yeah. So it was just a way of sort of immersing you as the player in terms of I need to take care of this person.
Of telling you there's permadeath, even though it's not actually permadeath.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted your take on that. But
once you die the first time...
Well, no. It's if you die too much. Not if you die once, but if you die too much, how much is too much? Still don't know. But there's
right
the blot, right?
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. For sure.
It's this black essence that runs up the arm, and the more you die, the further up it goes, that people found out that there are four stages of the game where if you before you reach that next stage, it'll stop here. And then once you pass that next threshold, then it'll stop here. And then it'll stop here, and so on and so forth. So it's not exactly permadeath, but it's a visual representation of this is taking over her.
But I don't know how I feel about it. I'm weirdly conflicted because I didn't know that when I started, read it later. Mm. But what it did for me, especially because I played this in two chunks so far, about 3 hours, and I played an hour and a half each time. Mm. And the first time, I mean, I am on edge. Like, I did not want to get hit. I was like, come on. And so, like, now I think it's lower stakes bingo. Not that it's the end of the world, and I obviously don't want to restart fights, but, like, it was way more intense for me when I believed that and didn't know. And I think it's weird that, like, a developer would throw that out there in the internet age, right? This is not like 1992 where you'd have to learn on the playground. I was like, that's not true.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like,
no, when I died!
In 15 minutes, like, people knew that this was not, like, legit. I like where they were going with it, but I kind of wish I didn't know. Mm. How do you guys feel about, like, developers doing that?
Well, I think it's not just necessarily this is something that I wanted to wait to talk about this week. Mm-hmm. Kind of want to talk about it last week because of how far I've gotten, not that much far, in Horizon, where I had to change the difficulty to get past a story mission.
Sure.
And, fine, whatever.
Which is the normal, yes.
Absolutely. It's absolutely
fine. You didn't play Halo on Legendary? You didn't play Halo.
Well, I didn't play Halo.
Get so, good, bro.
I didn't have an Xbox. Anyway, I think that goes into how far you're willing to go to be immersed into the story versus difficulty.
Okay.
And in terms of Hellblade, it's a choice by the developer to make it so that you think it's more difficult than it actually is. And I think that's different. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm conflicted. Like, again, it really worked for me. And they've got difficulties like easy, medium, hard, and then auto. So it's a dynamic one that adapts to your how well you're doing, so it'll always provide the right difficulty.
That's cool.
So for me, that's also the default setting, so I just left it there. But, like, every time I hit, I clutched. I was like, don't die, don't die, don't die. It seemed to really matter, and especially in this context, I won't say too much, but with her dealing with mental illness and on this quest that she's on, like, there's something kind of like, it's high-stakes bingo. Like, she shouldn't die. So, like, for me, it made it way more narratively interesting to have that kind of in place. But I'll just say, again, I don't know how this wraps up, but I am fascinated. I've never played a game like this. It's just combat, it's walking, and then there's a light puzzle elements. We have to line up certain symbols with things in the environment, but color me intrigued.
I think if they switched it to where it wasn't something that was advertised, and no, that's difficult. It's
they say it like the first like 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah, but I that's weird. That's weird.
I know.
It all depends on how you frame your message.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I feel like it's also weird too that like, maybe that should have been part of the review embargo. Like, reviewers maybe should have said that or something, because, like, they didn't say that until the game was in the public's hands, and all of a sudden there was this, like, whole, like, backlash around it where I think they could have got out ahead of the messaging a little bit. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
If it was in the advertising of it, maybe. And also, this game, the only... I know that there was a Game Informer article about it, and then there was a trailer where everybody went, what's this game? It's like,
yes.
It's been announced for a couple months. This isn't new. But
I had not heard of this game until you said
we really?
Were going to talk about
it. Is that right?
Completely under my radar.
It was under mine until like last week as well. And there was like a tech demo of this facial cap tech in one of the E3s apparently, where they were showing her face and how lifelike it was. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, I didn't know it certainly wasn't on my radar.
Well, I mean, that's because Ninja Theory has been working with Andy Serkis since Heavenly Sword. So
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they've had access to the best technology thanks to him, and I don't know what his involvement in this game was, if any, but he's the best in the business and he's brought that over. Okay, man, you brought two games that are completely different. Well, not completely different, but walking simulators, I suppose, a little bit more combat for one. I mean, if you're not playing anything, out of the two, which would you suggest more, the one than the other?
For people that aren't playing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with, at least at this point, again, the caveat is I haven't finished Hellblade, but I'd say Hellblade, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think you can get similar types of experiences. There were some tropes that I didn't love in Tacoma. It didn't resonate with me like Gone Home did. Like, I think about those two characters to this day. Mm-hmm. And I think Tacoma is incredibly well written, but there is nothing, nothing like Hellblade, right? Like having these people, it's too intense for me. Like, I don't know if I should be doing this before I go to sleep, but like having people yell at you for like an hour and a half and like indifferent, like sometimes they're supportive and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're very denigrating and then like yelling at you and yelling at her. And like, it is an intense experience, but it's also unlike anything out there, and it's getting unbelievable reviews. So I'm cautiously optimistic that narratively they wrap up like in a really cool way.
Okay. All right. So Hellblade, damn.
Yeah.
That throw it on the list. All right, let's move on to some of the esports events that happened over the weekend.
Yes.
Let's start with a game that we don't talk about very much here.
Yeah.
Overwatch. Let's talk about Overwatch.
What's Overwatch?
Yeah, what is this?
Is that a new game?
Yeah, it's a new game.
That's the new
By BlizzClizz.
I've heard that name before.
It's been known as Titanfall. Project Titan.
Right.
Stacey, you were at the World Cup this weekend.
I was at the World Cup this weekend.
Tell us about it.
It was, so this is my first, like, esports competition that I've attended in person. Mm-hmm. It was so fascinating. And it was in this hangar in Santa Monica, which they converted into an esports stage. And the setup was really cool. And it was so well organized.
Really?
Like, it ran so smoothly. For this being, like, a fledgling kind of competition for them, the whole Overwatch chain... It moved along. They had almost zero technical issues. They had everything set to go, moving back and forth. It was very organized, very easy to maneuver. It was a bit smaller than I expected, but then I guess since it sold out so fast, I shouldn't have been that surprised.
Yeah.
It was really fun being in a crowd of people who really like watching other people
what
play
was
Overwatch.
The format? I had no idea this was a thing. Like, what was it like?
We've got some video of New Zealand versus USA, which will run while we're talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, you go there, like, who's playing? Like, how's it organized? Like, what's the experience like?
So, they put out the schedule before the day starts. They had it organized into brackets.
Okay.
So, we had groups G and groups H competing this weekend, which included the United States, UK, Germany. And so, they came together and they'd play all their matches. They had set start times.
Okay.
And then kind of enough time to play all of the games if they had to. Most of the games ended up going 4-0. So they only had and some. I mean, they dragged them out for a while, but some of them were pretty.
So these weren't pro owned teams. They were like regional country, like their countries.
So they put
right?
together, yeah. So each country put together a committee to pick these teams.
Oh, okay.
Well,
wow.
They already have different leagues, though.
They have different leagues.
So they just picking teams out of the.
Yeah. So they had a committee that looked at all of the players, and they pulled them from different pro leagues and put together these teams. So some of the teams hadn't been working together very long,
mm-hmm.
which was really interesting to see
how that played out. Yeah.
And some of them, Belgium, for example, they had a language barrier with several of the members.
And this also isn't like a culminating final of like a season, right? This is like an invitational tournament.
Yeah, so this was the final round of the qualifier.
Right, but this is not after a lead up of a season. You know, certain teams qualify from, like for example, the League World Championships, where in each league throughout the different regions, whoever is in these certain, you know, top two or three spots, depending on how big the region is, those are who advances to Worlds, and then they go through the group stages. So in this case, if I'm correct, they just invited teams from different regions.
Well, not whole teams. They took players.
So they took players and then assembled teams. So they picked players from the regions, and then they said, "All right, you." So it's kind of like almost like an Olympics.
Are you familiar with the Dream Team?
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the 1992 Dream Team, including Barkley, Shut Up, and Jam?
You know, there's a new Dream Team.
Nope. There's only one, and there'll only be that one.
No.
David Robinson. It's his house.
There's a new
Patrick Ewing.
Times have changed.
Michael Jordan. Larry Bird, he played on that. He didn't play much. He like held his back on the sideline most of the time.
You guys got this one.
Yeah, he was moral support.
Dyrus, Skara. I'm telling you.
I don't know. What is this you speak of?
This is the League of Legends Dream Team.
Mm.
They took a bunch of ex pro players and like players who've turned into streamers, and they made them. There's the regular like pro tier, and then there's like challenger tier, which is like right under it. People who want to be pro, so they got all the ex players. That are popular streams, they put them on one team, and now they're playing against the challenges. And they lose all the time because they're way out of practice.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
they
yeah.
do is stream, so they play for fun and they're having a good time.
Got it.
They're way out of practice, and they're playing with
the Challenger division, who are all people who are hungry to get to pros. So right. they just play the scrim games and they play the real games and they just get demolished. But everybody loves watching them because they're popular.
When it comes to Overwatch, gentlemen, excuse me, they put up this clip that we're playing right now is available on the Overwatch YouTube page. Mm-hmm. It's Team USA versus New Zealand. It's an hour long. It's all four sets of rounds. But this first Hollywood round was just amazing. They've got essentially the same loadout in terms of characters with one or two differences here and there. And it's even interesting with that to see how much the strategies change based on that. Mm-hmm. And being in the crowd of a area in the United States, how were the crowd reactions when the United States was excelling?
Oh boy, well, you could see like in the videos, there were so many American flags. People draped in American flags.
Were there any McCrees in the USA?
There were a lot of beach or lifeguard McCree won this round. He really did.
Look but at that stage.
Someone did like a lifeguard American version.
All right.
So he had the American flag. So all of these signs, I did not know, they have a sign station in the back of the arena, and you go and you make signs right then and there.
Let's just streamline this shit. Let's do that. That sounds so Blizzard.
It also makes it look.
I agree.
It makes the fans look more involved as well.
So yeah, so you go back there and you make your signs. They have to approve them, but
yeah, I mean, there's definitely something to be said about the Blizzard production design. The set looks awesome. It looks everything fantastic. It's like just like you said. I mean, all Blizzard products are like this.
Yep.
They polish it and polish it and polish it and polish it and polish it. But just because you shine a turd, I'm just saying. I love Overwatch, but even like watching that gameplay, I still feel like they haven't figured out the best way to implement the spectator.
No, I agree.
It's hard to follow. Dude, it's hard to watch, especially pros, because they don't just stand there.
No, they jump
and shoot. They move because that's how you not die.
And that spectator camera that wasn't one of those first person perspective, it just looked like chaos. It's just a bunch of, like, to your point, and everyone's jumping. It was just like boom, 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 shoot, shoot, boom.
They also need some celebrities too, because there's like Seagull is the only one I know. And he's just popular because he's like one of the best Genjis and he just destroys people. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one of the things that they really need to push the
let's get Ice-T out there.
If Ice-T plays Overwatch,
he plays Gears
and he plays it at a competitive level, I would pay.
I would love to see. I would pay to see Ice-T play
Overwatch. Lots of money. I would buy the gear too.
I want his voice pack. Killer Mike maybe.
Definitely Killer Mike. All right,
Killer Mike Winston skin.
Yes, on board.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
So we're gonna come back to Overwatch because they had a little bit of news that came out that we were able to test in the PTR today. But let's move on to the next bit of esports. Was the For Honor Championships, which for a game that's less than a year old, a little silly.
Thank God we're covering this though, because I've been dying to talk about it.
Are you?
No, he played.
No, absolutely
well,
not.
Well, no, see, the reason why we're talking about it is the guy that won utilized an exploit.
Oh, did he really?
I don't feel like exploit is the right word.
Okay,
it's not
what
an
is
exploit.
It?
It's a
break
it's,
it down.
It's bad game mechanics. Mm-hmm. It's a move that's he's not breaking the game. It's a move that's implemented in the game. It's just poorly implemented.
What did he do?
It's like a auto cancel or something like that. It's basically a move that's unblockable, unparryable, and you just spam it. So they just sit. He sits there and he swings wide. Anytime you get closer, you do anything. He just cancels
spammed
it.
Back.
Yeah, and he spammed it all the way up the ladder and destroyed everyone.
And that got him what?
The thing that I think part of the reason why people are saying exploit and there's a lot of like negative emotions coming out with it is because he was kind of ass about it.
We can advance a little bit to like maybe a minute left where we could see a little bit more of what he was doing.
But dog, like I don't know, like that there has to be some sort of, if they know that that's in the game.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
Well,
is
and
he,
that's it's.
He was handed the trophy by one of the lead developers of the game and said, "Hey, you should probably change your strategy soon," meaning that they're going to patch that specific thing.
But did people
out.
Go into the tournament knowing this was a thing?
Yes,
they did.
This has been a thing since the free beta.
Then how do they not ban that pick?
How do they not have dedicated servers and until a year?
But why doesn't everybody then pick this dude? And why doesn't everybody just spam this if it is just the? I don't understand why this is like allowed to even be.
Because some people value integrity over.
Wow.
Well, it's true. Yeah. I mean, if I was in a competition, I would have to ask myself, am I going to use the cheapest strategy that I'm going to feel dirty for, but I have a much higher chance of winning, or am I going to try to fight fair when someone else could easily pick the strat and use
especially
it
when
me.
There's what? Was it $10,000 on
the
line?
Oh, he's disgusted. Yeah. That dude is so pissed.
Yeah.
Not having it.
No, that was the win. That's the winner.
He was definitely not proud of what he just did.
He feels disgusted. Feels dirty.
He's like, wow, what did I just do?
Fuck that guy. Anyway, I find it even just weirder that already we have an esports level, and I use air quotes with that for audio listeners, for a game like For Honor. No offense to people that community, but it's been less than a year. How can you? It's sort of
fighting
like
game.
How we've talked about in a fighting game.
Well, PUBG hasn't even had an official release, and they
that's what I mean. That I was going to bring that up.
Yeah,
is PUBG is already going to have?
They're
having
a at Gamescom. Is it next week or the week after?
Soon.
Yeah,
they're having a a contest.
But this
for money.
This is built from the ground up for esports, though, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was always Ubi's intention, right? Like all of the overlays are that way. Like they shoutcasted the first time they ever showed this game. Like it was clearly built to be part of this space. So, like to me, it doesn't surprise me.
All right. Well,
they've got a pretty big community. I don't know. It's not my jam.
The last little
bit
of esports
is already like upset with the developers because of the issues of the dedicated servers. And like, remember, this game had a blackout. Like they actually got like, I think it was like 85% of the community to not play for like a day or two.
Really?
Yeah, just completely killed the like players online.
Jeez.
to get them to say like, fix these servers. There's a problem with this game. Because there are people that love the game. And I don't fault them because I played it. It was a fun game. But there's just a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed. And in my opinion, there's plenty of other games for me to play. And like, it's not worth
and they keep coming.
Trying to argue with the, it's not worth trying to like make you fix your game so I could play it that I've paid you for it a year ago.
I would play this game if you could play as the guy who came out on stage at E3 to introduce it, the guy with the cane.
Yeah.
The guy is more passionate about this game than I am about anything or have ever been or ever will be. If I could play as that dude with his cane sword, I'd play the shit out of this game.
DLC?
Yes.
He's
you know this dude
I wouldn't be surprised.
Is dying to be in the game. You know.
It's Vikings, Knights, Samurai, and that
and
guy.
And developer. Dev.
I'm sure they'll add him as a paid DLC character.
Probably.
You know he's built this game.
Or
he's definitely pit. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's there.
He's dying to be there.
I'm going to skip the last little bit of... come on, Eve. Eve Gumo. I'm going to skip this last little bit of esports because it's a really short clip and I don't really have a lot to say about it. We got a chance to play the newly announced Deathmatch.
Yeah, you did.
Deathmatch today as a team. Sorry, Patrick.
It's all right. You played Team Deathmatch.
We played team because we were in a group, so we couldn't play against each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Talk to me about it. I was weirdly conflicted about it.
It is less terrifying than playing all-in deathmatch where you're against everybody. Mm-hmm. That's for
fair
sure.
enough.
And in terms of deathmatches, I had more fun. Though I don't know if that was a combination of the game and playing with people that I knew and was openly communicating with, but I was less frustrated.
Mm-hmm. The maps like change at all? Like what are
they have more condensed so they have a couple of new matches that are or new maps that are specifically for when they introduce the elimination rounds. They've carried those over to death matches, and then they have most of the regular maps except condensed. So they only you get part of the map.
Got it.
So you'll get certain sections of it that you can run around in. Some of them are a lot bigger than other ones, which makes it interesting as far as gameplay mechanics.
Who are people picking? Who are people playing with?
Well,
we actually saw a good variety.
Did you?
People.
Yeah.
We did get around. It's a different mentality than when you're playing elimination. That's for sure.
Yeah, but
elimination, I was not a fan of because I lasted about 20 seconds usually.
But
deathmatch is great that way.
But for deathmatch, it's because the respawn timer is like 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. There were times when I was trying to pick another character, and our Mercy rezzed us. And I was like, wait, no, I was trying to get somebody else.
No. I'm changing, hold on.
I'm changing, wait. And then just immediately killed by Doomfist again. But
As it goes.
Yeah. I find it a little bit despite not feeling filling the ethos that Overwatch has had,
yeah.
I feel that it's a lot. People are a lot more open because the punishment isn't as there to pick new characters as you need to.
Yep.
And coming from less of a, well, I just want to play this player because I want to play this player, and being like, how can I kill that Widowmaker? And one of my favorite things that we did on the round that we won, I think we won one round or two?
We won two out of
definitely wasn't Eichenwald.
We won the first Eichenwald. No, we didn't.
No, it was close.
You're right.
It was like 28.
We won 30. 2 out of 4. The first one was really close. Then we got demolished.
Yeah. But when we were back in Egypt and we were in the Necropolis stage, there was this one Widowmaker that I just kept stopping and shutting down. And I was having so much fun doing it. Just running behind, grenade, throw a mine, explode it. Yeah. I was having a lot of fun as Junk. That is very much a Junkrat mode. I was using Reaper because I thought, hey, it's an Edgelord mode. I'll die.
It's right there.
Yeah, it's all about it. But it was fun. I think it's gonna succeed.
Yeah,
I think
the community seems to like it too. Like, you think it's gonna be around?
I think it'll
stick around. At least an arcade for a while.
What took them this long?
Because they didn't have a place for it. Like, they wanted the playstyle to be specifically team-based, whereas deathmatch is a little bit more singular. Mm-hmm. So yeah, now
but
that
also,
they have...
But still, due to the nature of the heroes, too, like, it still is pretty team-based. Like, when we were working together well is when we were doing really good.
Yeah, that...
When you're split up and you're respawning at different times and people aren't together, like, even the Mercy thing, I wonder if that actually is going to stay, because I feel like that's really strong. And if you're doing that, if you're playing Team Deathmatch without a Mercy, I feel like you're kind of at a disadvantage.
What he's referring to is when Mercy rezzes, it takes the kills away from the other team.
It should.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference tipping the scales sometimes.
Mm. I think it shouldn't. I don't think it should take the kills away. I think you should just get the res. The res is strong enough on its own, let alone.
Well, especially when
the cooldown is about 3 seconds.
You're not dead. Yeah. You're not dead. Yeah. No, it takes.
And sometimes the spawns can be really bad in terms of I'm dead, because one time we got rezzed. Because we were just killed by a Genji, and then Genji hit his super and killed us
and
all again.
That can't be two kills. That can't be two kills, so it only has to count for one of those. Like, I think the res takes away those kills. Right? Imagine if you have res and you get killed again, that's double kills?
I mean, that happens in games, though.
Double so kill.
Mad.
It has been known
to happen.
Fun.
We'll see.
It was fun. We'll see. It's still in the PTR. There's still time to make changes. I wanted to... Patrick, you brought this up. Xbox is changing their achievements.
They didn't say much. I was just so Mike Ibarra was just talking a little bit about the evolving nature of achievements, right? Like, and he'd said something along the lines of, we want a reward. Do you have the quote?
We are working towards a bigger, more meaningful change about somebody's gaming accomplishments in history as a gamer on Xbox. We can do a lot more to reflect and let people show their gaming history and their status. Which refers to, hey, if you're only playing multiplayer, well, then we're going to make all of your, like, when people look at your achievements, they're going to know that you're a multiplayer god.
Right.
If you only play story stuff, we're going to let people know that you're more of an artsy whatever. If you only play indie games, whatever.
You're he made eye contact with me. A little artsy.
I'm the little artsy guy over in the corner. The artsy pansy boy.
I'm with you on the story mode stuff, all right?
No, shooting games.
I play easy mode, little artsy boy. I just want the game to play itself.
Play Destiny.
I just
play the game for the story.
I want it on rails. Yeah, I want to press A once every 5 minutes. I thought it was interesting, again, like, to what he said, like, it reflects the type of gamer that you are, and also it sounds like they're gonna go deeper. Like, if I'm only playing one game but I'm like pro level in it, maybe it's 10,000 achievement points for that one game, and it's gonna show you that you are like world class. I don't know. And what I realized when this announcement came out, I don't know if you guys like give a shit about achievements. Like, I'm not one who cares at all, although it's still gratifying when that pops.
I used to. I'm not.
I like when the rare ones pop.
Yes, I do too.
Have you seen how the rare achievements pop on Xbox One?
Yep. Nope.
It's like a little diamond when it's like, oh. Ding, ding, only like, ding, ding. What? I think it's like, is it under 5% or 10%?
Definitely 5. I was going to say 5 or 1, but yeah, no, it's definitely,
If under 5% of the population of game owners haven't got it, it becomes a special.
So
and it doesn't even give you any other points or anything. It's just like, hey, good for you.
You're really special.
You can feel special for a moment.
It's the most special. Somebody loves me.
You're a nerd.
The one, I honestly think that I like how PlayStation does their achievements a little bit better, in the sense where instead of, oh, it's points, it's numbers, it's here's a bronze trophy, here's a silver trophy.
Oh, you do.
And it it's a similar, it's all tiered similarly, but it's like, oh, I got this many golds, I got this many silvers, I got way too many bronzes.
I don't like that.
Platinum.
Yeah, platinum's legit. I agree, but there's something that's similar. It's like they weight them based on point value. So for me, it's easier to compartmentalize. Oh, that was only a 50-point achievement versus that was a 500-point achievement or whatever. So I like the Xbox stuff. I just thought I just didn't realize. I didn't know if you guys were like achievement hunters in your own right. Do you guys look at achievements before you start a game?
I try not to because I feel like it ruins certain things. I try to go through a game and find as much as I can on my own, which actually ended up being bad for when I played Firewatch.
Yeah.
I missed a really easy achievement.
Did you?
And I was so sad about it because, I don't know if I wanted to go back and play it again just to get this achievement. But I'm sitting there staring at it. I'm like, I want that achievement. I want it.
Especially when it's the last one that OCD checks in and you're like, come on.
If it's a game that I'm spending a lot of time on and one where I'm sort of the master of the domain, I'll be like, all right, what more can I do to sort of get more out of this experience? Like Minecraft is one of the few games that I've platinumed or 100%ed or whatever, just because I'm already here anyway.
Yep.
But I've 100%ed a WWE game once, and Assassin's Creed 2 are like
That is a legit 1,000-pointer.
That's rough.
That is a legit.
That's a big one. Yeah.
And that's why I've started to not care, because I spent so much time on
you did
Xbox
early
360 with all those points and haven't thought about them in years, and even if I did, nobody cares.
Nope.
It's not a big deal anymore.
It's not.
You so that's care what... for yourself.
Yeah.
I do that thing where, like, if you guys heard of a game called Ghost Recon, trust me, you should play.
Is it Wildlands or the original?
The Wildlands. You might have heard of
that's
it.
The
I
one
might
with
be
the
like
monkey,
weirdly
right?
obsessed. I'm nearly 100% of the DLC. It's a problem. But I'll do the thing where, like, Xbox shows me the progress. I think when the progress is like, I've got 9 out of 10 of one thing, I'm like, well, all right, I can just knock that out. That's like, I can jump out of a helicopter one more time. Yeah, totally. But other than that, like, it's not anything I even notice. It's always like a pleasant surprise. Mm. And they've done a really good job lately, I feel like, in the evolving trophies. Like, so many of them are hidden now. So they don't. There's no spoilers.
You
early
actually
on,
have to go look them up
totally.
To find out.
Early on, it was
story
like,
based. Or,
right.
Yeah. They're based on finding secrets.
You get a handful of them no matter what, and then... Yeah, it's always fun to kind of reach out. I like all the story-based ones. I hate the ones that are time-based.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the time trials in Horizon Zero Dawn, I am missing one trophy in that game.
That's not okay.
One trophy.
Not okay.
And it's this one single hunting ground challenge that I just cannot do in time.
Right.
And it is this one full sun that I need to finish them all, and I can't do it. And I'm like, you know what? It's not worth the frustration.
Nope.
I have sat here for 30 minutes doing this trial over and over again.
That's when it's not fun.
No, I agree.
Like, it's come to the point where if it's a time trial mission and if it's a side quest, then I'm like, well, I guess I'm never doing that.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
No,
and
totally.
Do you get
like a special piece of armor or like a bow?
You just get the satisfaction of knowing you did it.
She gets a trophy of not twitching.
I was so close. It's one challenge.
Or if it's like a stealth mission, where it's like
you
get the special
is.
Challenge if you don't kill anyone. I'm like,
I'm gonna kill some fools.
I barely made it through. I'm not gonna go back and spend 10 minutes watching the guards' paths to figure out when it's safe for me to walk, so that someone can detect me. When I'm almost done and I have to start all over again. And
snap
my controller.
Like when that would it's like you would want to put your difficulty setting one lower so that you can just
and then
finish
I remember
the mission.
That I'm
and
a man.
Then
you
put
what
it back
up.
What baby would do that though? Like, do you know any babies that would do that? I don't.
And that I don't know.
Do you, Nate? Do you know any babies?
I value myself.
I know. You can see some self-respect.
I have to say I was almost that baby when I started Wolfenstein, okay? I just wanted to play
the beginning.
That game's hard. That game's hard.
The beginning is not hard.
Okay,
that game's hard.
You're like a god in the beginning.
I started on regular, but I'm looking through the options and it's like, oh, you want to go easy? You're kind of a baby, and then you go to like the easiest setting.
We should rename
literally
this show to Easy
as a
Mode.
Baby. So, and I'm like, oh well, like obviously can't do
no, no,
that.
No. So, confession time. I finished Injustice this weekend, and I will tell you, Brainiac is too cheap.
Brainiac
on normal.
Is so cheap.
He's so cheap. I beat him on easy. Same thing. I'm like, nope, I just want to finish this as Superman. I want to see this shitty ending and be done with this dumb game, which, by the way, was kind of great. But same thing. I did the same thing. I was like, look, I'm playing this for the story, not for the challenge. And that dude is soups cheap.
Yeah.
So fuck that guy. So I'm with you.
Sorry, say that last part again.
That I'm in this for the story, not the challenge.
All right.
I know. So I give you shit about it, but I actually really...
I do want to say, fighting games are different.
Well, who's in a fighting game for the story?
No, look, okay, so I am not playing him one more time. He's so cheap. But, like, for me, that perfect difficulty is right where I feel stressed about it, but not have to repeat it several times. Mm-hmm. So if that's easy or if that's super hard, see, like, on Halo, I play the Halos on the really hard one because that's that, right at that, where, like, I'm going to almost die all the time and I feel so accomplished. But, like, for me, I felt great about beating Brainiac on easy because that was still not an easy. Still took me three times on easy.
Well, Injustice 2 does adjust the difficulty a little bit as you play.
Oh, does it?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel better, but like I don't care what, like, I'm not above. I actually think Uncharted 4 people should play on easy. That is a story based game and the shooting's not optimal, and I've seen people get hung up and I'm like, if you get stopped, like, play it on easy, who cares? That is about the emotional resonance of these characters. The gunplay's not good, like, stop, just play what makes you feel good, however you want to enjoy a game. So, like, I'd rather you finish Horizon on any difficulty because the story's so dope. Who cares what level you're playing on?
Just want to do it.
I know. I'm so excited for you. But yeah, play it on easy.
And I told them this last week. I got to my first, what is it called? I forgot because it's been that long already. But the first cauldron.
Okay,
The first cauldron, and there's a big boss fight in there. And I finally started to get everything.
Like the traps. It's such a good moment.
Now I gotta lay down the traps, and now I got these bombs that I gotta use. And so now I'm into it, and I think now that I've had that breakthrough moment,
it clicked.
And I don't think I'll go back down.
Good. Okay.
I don't think there should be, unless it's a stealth mission, because I suck at stealth missions.
Yep.
Action I can take care of.
And I will say, by the end of it, it's nice because you actually feel so underpowered at the beginning of that. At the end, you feel like you've learned so much
Anything.
You can take down the biggest dude, and you're like, yeah, just what?
No, you take control of the biggest dude and have him take
everything. Hey,
what?
Spoilers. Thanks for spoiling that.
No, it's a dinosaur. Like, it's not a
dinosaur.
I'm a
got him.
I didn't say anything about that. I didn't spoil anything.
So one of the last things I wanted to talk about until we just go off into the weeds, wait a minute, we did that already, was No Man's Sky released patch 1.3.
No Man's Sky.
Atlas Rises update. It brings a brand new and overhauled central storyline, portals, a new procedural mission system, trade improvements, system economies, joint exploration, which for the layperson is multiplayer, and more. This update marks the 1-year anniversary of No Man's Sky and has a lot of changes. Please see Pathfinder and Foundation for previous major updates. This is the next step on our journey. Now, in this description, there seems to be a lot of basics when it comes to a release, and it's sort of been determined already that there was I'm not a weenie, by the way. That No Man's Sky was really too big for its britches. By the time it was released, because everybody had such this grand idea of it when they weren't clear that that wasn't going to be the 1.0 release.
Sure.
Now that the game is the game that they wanted it to be, is there still time for this community to build back up?
Look, I think good on them, right? They could have, like, literally, this game sold incredibly well. It was a Sony marquee title. It was at the VGX. It was on stage at E3. It got up to a 12-man team, but most of the dev cycle was, like, 6 dudes. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so ambitious. I think they got put in a difficult position with Sony. This should have been a pre-release, like, you know, beta type, but, like, and again, like, early access type title.
Yeah.
It's a bummer that it's not, but they made a ton of money building this game. So I, like, good on them. They've continued to deliver. I don't know that there's goodwill left for this game in the community. I'm excited. I've spent 30 hours. Yeah. They've got low altitude flying now. They've got vehicles. They've got an improved combat system in space. They've got, like, new missions, like, that are narrative based. Huh. They've got new textures and world types. So they've increased the algorithm, so you're going to see a greater variety of things. Like,
This is a free update.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
And
just making sure.
I think it's really good on Sean Murray and those guys. I think my time with No Man's Sky is done. I'm actually weirdly interested in seeing like the graphical overhaul because I think the improved textures, they've got like a PS4 Pro support.
Okay.
Kind of interested to see what they did. But I don't know, man. I can't imagine this pulling a lot of players back.
I can imagine if like next month or maybe Christmas month or whatever, this was the PlayStation Plus game.
Yeah.
So just to try to bring people in, because I mean, this isn't new for any reason, but it's like Rocket League.
Yeah.
Rocket League was the free game, and I have people who still regret that they didn't download it when it was first came out, because now it's everywhere.
Yep.
Right.
So I figure the best way to get people back in is, here it is for free. Give it a shot.
Yep.
And if you like it, stick around.
Yep.
But the fact that they did use all of the money, because they got all of the money to reinvest and deliver with their promises that they made, albeit some may say a year too late.
Substantial it's overhaul. It's impressive.
Yeah. They could still have says a lot about just, them as developers.
Super great.
Taking the money and something else.
But I think even then, the
Joe
reputation.
Danger 3.
Yes, give me that. I don't think anybody buys another game from those guys ever again unless they. I think to some degree this is a self-preservation. I think they could even rebrand the studio and forever Sean Murray would be that guy that oversold his game. Mm. I mean, worse than Molyneux, right? Like people, and for better for worse, it's not his fault. I think he got sucked into that PR cycle with Sony, but like. I think their reputation is permanently damaged if they don't do something, but good on them, right? It seemed like they went even above and beyond for this, so I don't know. I'm weirdly interested. It's still on my hard drive. Played like 30 hours.
If you ever go back,
yeah.
Please let us know.
I will.
Yeah. And sort of the last thing before we go, what's everybody looking forward to playing this weekend? Unless it's all still the same.
I actually just resubbed to Final Fantasy 14.
You did?
Really?
You did?
I think I'm going to start that.
You're going to start fresh?
Goodbye, well, Stacey. It was so good having you on the show.
Bye,
I will see you later.
I think I am, yeah.
Let me know. All right. So you can jump on the server. But my roommate started playing a little bit after I played. I stopped playing because I didn't really know anybody that was playing. Mm. But my roommate started playing. He just caught up to the level where I was. So I said, when you catch up, I'll join you. But then also, this morning, I was like, man, Destiny 2 beta is about to come out. And then Destiny
next PC, month. Son?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I've already got PUBG and League and Overwatch, which is now exciting to play again because there's new stuff.
And it's summer games?
It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah dude. Yeah. Lucio Ball was fun today.
It was fun.
Yeah.
You play anything this week? What are you up to?
Just Overwatch.
All that. Great.
Overwatch, Minecraft Sky Factory.
Mark's going to play PUBG with me, too.
I got some Steam cards.
All right.
And I'm a little short, but he's like, no, I'll cover the rest of that. I'm like, all right.
Nice. That's sweet that power deal. Of that game.
Well,
he's
worth.
Like,
yeah,
seriously.
Nice.
Well, yeah.
I can't wait to hear your guys' adventures.
But I also
can't wait to watch you.
Just flounder.
Die.
Yeah.
just
please. Sounds really bad. But.
I need a chicken dinner tweet when you get the first one together. It's, I know.
You gotta give
see
us
in 4 years.
Yeah, okay. Stop. 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You have to remember, the game is so popular. So, like, yeah, there's a lot of people that are good at it. There's a lot of people who are also really terrible.
Yeah,
just
sure.
Bought the game.
Law,
like,
large
man, this
numbers,
is fun.
Right?
I want to play.
Yep.
And they drop in to the island and land in the water and drown the first time.
It's going to be me.
Did that happen?
Well, I mean, you can, but you have
like,
to.
That's not what happens
like,
to me.
Intentionally swim underwater and swim upwards.
Nope.
It's like you're drowning and I'm good. I'll see what happens.
I'm going to try to play a little bit more Overwatch 2 just because we're 2 weeks away.
Capture some footage so we can get some.
Yeah, so we can play our own footage.
Yeah.
But whoever knows how long Deathmatch is going to be on the PTR, but I'm always a big fan of Lucio Ball, so I want to play as much of that as I can. And try to get some of the skins that I want without having to buy any boxes.
Nice.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
How many boxes?
I may have already done that too.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You have to start off strong.
I buy all the boxes. I spend way too much stuff on that, so...
Now, how big of a box pack have you bought? How many boxes is the biggest box?
I don't want to have this conversation.
At one time?
I have some self-control. I spend $20 chunks.
Yes, that's
I'm not telling you how frequently I do
it's
that.
It's very effective with your money.
You
don't want
to go for the full 50.
I didn't say that.
But my dollar per minute played ratio has got to be higher than yours. There's no way. I've played probably 20 hours. I've at least spent $20.
Like the first winter update... I didn't play it. I just bought a box for the first weekend, and that was it.
Cool.
I never played it. Yeah. I didn't play it. I wanted Nutcracker Zenny so bad. But we skipped over Stacey. What are you going to be playing this week? Final Fantasy 14?
Yeah.
Just maybe. That?
No, I think I'm finally... I'm playing catch up on a lot of games. I think I'm finally going to start What Remains of Edith Finch.
Yes!
I picked that up. It was on sale on Steam last week. So
damn it. That's a walking simulator. If I've ever seen one.
So I'm excited about that. And then I'm going to try to finish Wolfenstein eventually. Yes! I'm very slowly crawling so my way through this game.
I love it.
Literally crawling.
In some cases, yes.
Yeah. And I just picked up a game called The Observer. Have you guys seen this?
No.
Also a weird walking simulator. Do you remember Layers of Fear?
Yeah, I know Layers of Fear.
So it's those guys, and it is a Blade Runner-type dystopian cyberpunk horror game.
That's a lot of words.
I know.
But they're on all PS4. Words that I like.
I know exactly. Me too. A sight unseen. I saw one trailer, and I'm like, they said all of those, and I'm like, where's the buy button?
Yeah,
where's the
buy?
Allegedly, it's 6-7 hours. It's also another walking simulator, horror, cyberpunk type thing. So I'm going to try and get through Hellblade and get into The Observer this week, because after that, we got them Uncharted.
Oh, that's right. Lost Legacy's coming out.
Next week. So I got
four.
This is my catch-up week.
I can start four.
How about that?
You should.
I need to finish
Horizon.
It's a long one.
You do need to do that.
Yeah. There's a lot.
Can you say, not spoilery, but like what beat are you on story-wise in Horizon?
For Horizon? Mm-hmm. I just finished the first cauldron.
Okay.
So there's that.
You can finish
I got to the city, like the big city.
I know where you are.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, let us know what you're playing in the comments down below, or find us on Twitter. Hit us up at InventoryFullPT on Twitter, on Twitch, because we're also going to be... No, please, Patrick, continue with
it
that.
It was just the way you said on Twitch. I just loved it. It was so exciting to me. I know.
Hit us up on Twitch. We're all testing to see how our stream setups are so that we can start streaming on the regular on that channel. So please head over there. Give us a follow. We'll be there soon. Don't you worry. But until next time, where can the folks find us on Twitter? And what are you working on?
I'm not working on anything. I'm working on finishing some games this week. You can find me, Peter the D's, or if I'm on Xbox Live or PlayStation, at Truly Slide. It's a Fight Club reference, just in case you're wondering. People always ask me. That's a reference.
That's a reference?
Everybody asks!
He
says, the thing you have to admire about Tyler is he lets the things in life that don't matter truly slide. I know!
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's Raymond!
I'm a big
What do you want to be? The you know, that's right after the Raymond the veterinarian
scene. Like a space monkey.
I know, yes. Stacy, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacy Shuttles, or on Overwatch at Smart Pop. I remember my numbers now. It's number 1698. Look at me go. Or I'm Seriously Siri on PlayStation Network.
I always forget my Blizzard numbers.
Yeah, I forget my numbers too.
Guys, you can find me on social media at DogLikeNate. Please hit me up on Twitter if you want to play. We can play League or Overwatch or PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, which would be preferred, and then we can die together.
I'm going to be playing PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds with my boy Nate here.
Yes.
You can find me on Twitter at MarkBDonica. I would like to stream or record my first round.
Yes,
we should definitely do that.
And people watching should participate and then let us know what their experience was.
Yes.
We'll include it in the show.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, please do. More on that, please follow everybody at the network at The Popcorn Talk. Follow the show at InventoryFullPT. Thanks so much. And we'll see you at Volskaya Industries. Why not?
Overwatch.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I got it.
Get it? From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.